Today is Easter Sunday, this amazing day, which this whole Holy Week we've been getting ready for and excited about. On Palm Sunday, we were celebrating Jesus as this King who was going to die for us, but we celebrate him as King because we were certain, we knew he was going to win. We knew he was going to be victorious. And then Maundy Thursday, we watched and prayed with Jesus as he was preparing for this death, for this cross. Good Friday, we were silent and quiet and meditated with Jesus at the foot of the cross. Quiet, as that is when our God died. But today we celebrate and we're happy again after Good Friday because that God who died is now alive forever and ever. So that's what Holy Week we've been getting ready for, this death and resurrection. And today, that is that amazing event in Jesus' life complete. And then we've also read earlier on these other appearings. So it was this big thing that as Jesus came back, he wanted to prove he was back. So he came and I think John even mentions how he showed himself off to hundreds and hundreds of others. So he's showing himself, he says, no, I really am alive. And then we've got that disciples who doubted, Thomas, who doubted. And Jesus like, nah, but I can prove it. I can prove this is me. It's not an illusion. This really is Jesus come back. He really did defeat death. And so how amazing is it? This little breakfast which we shared together, that as Jesus, he went through all that super tough death and suffering and persecution, and then he's now come back. One of the first things he wants to do is have breakfast with his friends. How amazing is that? This time where he can prove to them and be real with them. Just ordinary. There's nothing weird going on. It's just him eating breakfast with them. But it is interesting how with these other appearings, we see how Jesus seems to be actually quite active. You'd think after a resurrection, after all this amazing work, he'd want to rest a little bit, be quiet and just maybe hang out, have a few weeks maybe in bed. But he doesn't. Almost immediately, he's out visiting people, talking to people, cooking for his friends. It does seem like after this resurrection, he's not ready to rest. He's not ready to sit on his laurels. He's actually ready to get going again. How interesting is that? And even after this breakfast, if we continued that story, Jesus actually wants this feeling of get going, to continue after his resurrection and after he's shared this time with his disciples. He tells Peter, because we might remember on Good Friday, Peter had this awful event where he rejected Jesus 3 times and he felt awful. And so probably this fishing for him was to distract him. He thought, I've got to distract myself. I can't deal with this. But then when he meets Jesus again, Jesus does this wonderful thing of getting him to accept Jesus 3 times. To fix that kind of past event, to get over it. Jesus wants him over it. But why? And it's because Jesus actually commissions Peter to do something. He wants him to go and do some great things. And the other disciples too. We know and we'll be hearing soon in this next season how actually, after he resurrected and he defeated death and sin and the devil, he's now like, that's not over now. It's like, I'm not sitting, I'm not resting, I'm not standing still. He now is asking this question of, now that we've won, now what? Now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to get on with? And we have this great message. I think last year we loved it. This Jesus and the gardener. So it's interesting that first reading. How when Jesus resurrects, Mary Magdalene mistook him for a gardener. So it's the same. He resurrects. He's just done this incredible, impossible thing. But then he gets back to gardening. He starts working again. Why does he do that? Surely, again, if it were any of us, or me particularly, I'd want to sleep for a week after something like that. But it is as if Jesus, and we looked at this in Genesis, how right at the beginning of the Bible, God was gardening. Right at the beginning of the Bible, he wanted to just garden with us, to be gardeners together. So it's as if when Jesus finishes this death and resurrection, he goes, I want to get back to gardening. I didn't get to finish all that tending I had to do. I didn't get to finish that garden, those plans, those plants. I didn't get to finish that. I want to get back to that. There's a feeling as if this work was just a blip. This death and resurrection, it was like he needed to get this over with because he was excited for what was coming. He was actually excited for the work after the resurrection. He needed this resurrection because he wanted to do something even more amazing afterwards. So it's so interesting as well how we saw Jesus as this gardener. As soon as he's resurrected, he wants to get back to working with plants. And isn't it interesting as well with these fishermen? So we sang that seed song right at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus calls fishermen and says, he doesn't tell them like you're going to be doing something different. He goes, no, what you're doing now, you're going to keep doing. What you enjoy doing, what you love doing, you're actually going to do it, but instead for God. You're going to do it to the glory of God, and it's going to be fruitful, it's going to be amazing, it's going to be better, even better. So he's calling fishermen to do fishing. And isn't that amazing in this resurrection story? Jesus sees himself as this gardener since the beginning of the world. And then when he calls fishermen, he goes, actually, you're going to, now let's get fishing. Mm-hmm. Now let's get fishing. After it's a resurrection, he's like, okay, now we've got that over with. Do you remember how I said I want you to go fish for men? That's going to happen. Now that can start. We couldn't do it before. Now we can. Now we can get started. That's probably the weirdest thing about this resurrection, is that it's not him slowing down. It's not like he got really worked up, loads of energy, and then he's starting to taper off. He's actually getting more excited, more energy. He's doing more. How weird is that? This Holy Week, we're celebrating this big work Jesus did, but actually he's still going on to do even more things. He's excited to do even more. And that's something that this resurrection proves, and it's so wonderful. It proves, one, that God, when he died, you might think, oh, okay, he's managed to escape. He's got out of this rat race. He's out now. What's amazing, though, is he came back. God died and he escaped, and then he came back. So it proves this life, these fishermen, these breakfasts, these meals he has with people, that's what God enjoys. He's not trying to tell us to step away from that. Some people think maybe in this resurrection life, it's like we're floating or we're above all these mundane things or we're above people even. It's not that. This resurrection proves that God enjoys life. And it actually proves, it's not that when we die and resurrect, it's not like this was our prime. It's not like when we resurrect, there's less life, like zombies. Some people might think it's like that, a half existence. It's not that. When Jesus resurrects, he's almost full of more life. It's like after this resurrection, it's not just a, you know, duct tape, we're not just fixing an old life. It is a totally new and fresh and infinite new life with Jesus. Isn't it amazing? This resurrection proves not just that there's more to life, but that in the future there is actually more life. We're not tapering. As Christians with Jesus, we're not slowing down. We're getting faster. We're getting more energetic. There's more stuff to do. There's more life ahead of us, just like there was for Jesus. How amazing is that? So it is amazing that Jesus' resurrection is this wonderful victory, and Jesus is excited for this new work. But what is this new work? What is it that he's getting excited for? And in particular, we look at these disciples, how he's commissioning them, and Peter especially. Peter wants him to start doing something. He wants him to start looking after the church. And we saw at Good Friday as well, when Jesus is dying, he's thinking, I need the church to be looked after. We saw with Mary, like, wants Mary to be looked after. It's the same thing. I want this church to be looked after. So when he comes back and resurrects, he says to Peter, can you look after? Do you love me? Then look after my church. Look after these sheep. That's what he thinks. That's this great work Jesus is getting excited for. And actually, you can see it in this story. Think about that. That when Jesus resurrects, one of the first things he wants to do is visit his church again. Those people who love him, one of the first things he wants to do is go back to them. That proves this great work, this great love that Jesus has is for church. That's what he's getting excited about. That's what he's commissioning these apostles to do. He's saying, go out and get the church. Keep growing the church. Make the church. Look after the church. That's this great work that actually I've died and resurrected for. That was the whole point of this Holy Week. The whole outcome. Jesus went through all of this suffering. And the outcome was a looked after and growing and alive church. That was the point of all of this Holy Week. Not to rest, but to get to work on church. That's what God was getting ready for. Because actually, even when we said Jesus was a gardener, yeah, he enjoyed gardening. Yeah, he liked dealing with plants. But why did he make that garden in the first place? To spend it with us. To enjoy his church. Right since the beginning, he's been desperately trying to live with his church. And so upset that we didn't. That's what's bothered him. Right at the beginning, that work he constantly wants to go back to is his church. That's what he wants. But it is interesting in this story and in our reading that when he commissions Peter, he tells Peter how he's going to die. And that's a frightening thing. If I knew that, I would be really scared. But Peter isn't shocked. That doesn't stop him. We then read in Acts how he goes on to do amazing things. How can he do that? Knowing how he's going to die and knowing how bad it will be, he can go through all of that actually because of Easter Sunday. It is because of today. He knows, yeah, Jesus just told me how I'm going to die, but actually that's not the end. That's not the end. Today, he just proved death is not the end of church or our lives with Jesus. Peter isn't scared of that death because of Easter Sunday, this resurrection of Jesus. And so it's a great thing for us as well today to realize that there is nothing to be afraid of. As God has called us to go and do amazing and wonderful things. So in particular, I've got a great one from John 14. This is what Jesus says before he dies, as he's going up to die, getting ready for it. He says, John 14, 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So it's something for us to be excited about. Jesus is looking forward to what we're going to do, this work that the church is going to do. He's excited for it. He can't wait for it. But we need to recognize there is nothing more important than this too. There is nothing more important than Jesus. Because he talked about before how even your food, your water, your money, your clothing, none of that matters because you're with the God who made it all. And now we see with these early church and early Christians, he's saying, don't store up your life either. Don't store up this earthly life. Why? because this won't last, but you're with the God who made it in the first place. He made life, and there will be life after. He will continue a great and wonderful life. So that's what, for us, we need to be excited about. There is this great work. And remember, Jesus himself never bothered with food, water, or clothing, where he was going to sleep, where he was going to stay, or even his own life. All of that, he thought, is not, all of that is not worth replacing this church. Even his own life was not worth replacing the church. So for us, that's what's so exciting about this Resurrection Sunday. This God who died for us, when he escaped, he came back. He came back to his church. So in other words, Jesus is getting ready for eternity, for what his life will be forever and ever. And he decided, I'm going to spend it with church. So for us today, it's an important thing to remember and to hold on to. Even death can't stop us now. Even death can't stop this work of church, which Jesus is getting ready for. And then I just wanted as well, there is this wonderful bit that Paul says at the end of his letter. So as Paul is suffering and living and almost dying for church, he says this near the end of 1 Corinthians. And we'll just sit and listen to this and hopefully take this with us. So 1 Corinthians 15, 13, 32, and then we'll go later. So Paul himself says, I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then later, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Paul gave everything to this work of the Lord, which is this church. That's what he gave everything for, because he knew, because Jesus raised to life, this church is now going to live forever. This is the only eternal thing that God has allowed in this world. Church really will last forever. So if this is our focus, then we are storing up something that will survive death. It will beat death because of Jesus and his resurrection.